We're going to be continuing the series from that Paul wrote to the book to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 13 today. And I've entitled today's message, Stewardship of God's Grace. Have you ever been asked the question, what do I do with a revelation that I've been given? What I do with God's grace? Ain't that a good question? Lots of answers come to mind. I'm going to choose to live by grace and not by law. I'm going to stop walking in guilt and condemnation because, after all, God has taken our guilt and condemnation. Amen. He's already forgiven us of past, present, and future sins. So when I blow it and I mess up, I don't have to run and feel like I'm separated from God. I have to look to the cross and say, God, you saw that sin also. Thank you that I no longer confess to be forgiven. I confess that I am forgiven. So I'm going to walk in the victory God has provided. I'm now seeing people as one instead of seeing a separation. All of last week's message Paul talked about in the end of chapter 2, it was all about that he no longer saw Jew, he no longer saw Gentile. He said, we're now one. There's now no longer an us or a we or a you and an I. It's now we. You know, we're all one. But as I began to receive a powerful revelation of grace, I guess some 10, 11 years ago now, and God began to show me some things that were different than the way I was raised in the Baptist realm. It could have been the Methodist, it doesn't matter. A lot of the beliefs are the same. And God began to show me some things like total forgiveness, like that I've been raised a new creation, like all the work of the cross was done even before I believe it, and that kind of thing. I said, now what am I to do with this? Well, I made a choice. I said, I'm going to share what I've been taught. And I tell you, it has not pleased everybody in the religious world. I've been made fun of. I've been talked about in sermons. Had one about 2 years ago now said, you need to pull up this church and listen to this message. And they said this about grace. And I said, for real? They said, yeah. So I listened to it and I said, wow. Anyway, there wasn't any name calling done, but I know the people that he was talking about, and it was certainly us. But anyway, I must be a good steward of God's grace. Have I gotten it down pat? Am I perfect? Absolutely not. But Paul had this same decision to make. Let's start out looking at Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for your sake. Remember, he was in prison when he was writing this to encourage people. Isn't that cool? God had to put him in prison to get him to write the 2/3 of the New Testament. So, you see, if you're in what you think prison, you're not in prison. You're victorious in Jesus Christ. Now, say, hey, that's like this child is facing this cancer. They chose to look to the victory instead of looking at what the doctor said. That's what you got to choose to do in the midst of difficulties. But anyway, I just thought this is so powerful. If indeed, verse 2, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me. You see, Paul was a Jew of the Jew, right? I think he said to one of the churches he was writing to, he said, there's nobody that knew the Jewish law better than I did. I was a Jew of the Jew. I even killed Christians, and I stopped those that was trying to change our belief system. Does that sound familiar? Now Paul had decided he had to make a decision. Remember Paul, after his conversion, that God took him to a seminary, I call it. Wasn't it in the desert of Arabia for 3 years? Somewhere like that. And I believe God, Holy Spirit, was pouring this new found grace, this new covenant that is so clear in Scripture, once you begin to open your eyes to it, that everything changed after the cross. Now, Paul, he had a choice to make. What am I going to do with all this? And he chose, thank God, to pour out to the people, to minister this grace, to be good stewards of this grace to the people that he was writing to. He was persecuted for it. He was ultimately a martyr, if you will, for the grace of God. Now, if you'll notice, after he said what he did in verse 2, that he was a steward of God's grace, let's continue on. Verse 3, that by the revelation there was made known to me the mystery. Now, a few times in this short passage, we're going to see the word mystery. The grace of God is a mystery. It's a treasure to be mined. When somebody says, well, I think I understand grace now, you don't have a clue, because the mystery is so deep, it's so wonderful, it's so good. That's why Peter and Paul both said, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. When you think you've arrived with grace, my friends, you don't understand grace. You're still trying to look at it from the lens of the law. I've got to figure out this. I've got to figure out what to do and what not to do. No, it's not about the law. It's about Jesus and about who He is and what He's done and how wonderful He is. So when you think you've got this mystery figured out, my friends, you need to go back to the drawing board and say, hey, I hadn't even scratched the surface of God's infinite love and grace and mercy. Amen? Verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, you understand my insight into the mystery, there's that word mystery again, of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So we see in verses 3 and 4, we're talking about grace as a mystery. Then he said in verse 5, he said, other generations were not made known this. And I believe he was saying, at least not like it is now. Like there, Paul had a thrust of grace taught to him, and now everything changed at the cross. And here he is preaching this to all these religious people that were so steeped in the law, so focused on the do's and don'ts of the Christian life, that they missed the whole point. And here he is telling them, hey, it's not about the law, it's about what Christ has done. And he's now begin to pour this out, and he says here, he said it was not opened up to them. They didn't understand like we're going to begin to understand now. I'm so thankful that as I read the Scriptures, even in the Old Testament, that if you'll study closely through the lens of grace, through the lens of the New Covenant, you'll see Jesus Christ in every book of the Bible. Just one that has just jumped out at me. We know that in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, that your forgiveness was based on you running to the priest and running and sacrificing and doing all these things to be forgiven. And I love what Psalm 103 verse 12 says. It says that your sins have been removed as far as the east is from the west. You see, that didn't fit the old covenant. But God just couldn't wait. He had to throw in a few sprinkles of what is coming when Jesus Christ came. You see, that's a new covenant verse in the old covenant. So it's there if you'll just open your eyes and see it. Now in verse 6, Paul reiterates that we're about to read. Paul reiterates what he explained in the latter part of chapter 2, that we're no longer separated from God. There's no longer Jews nor Gentiles. There's no more on us and them. It's now we. So when you read Scripture, you don't need to say, okay, this book of Ephesians was written only to the church, only to the believers. Isn't that what you were taught? So you read that through the lens of those who have only believed. No, you need to quit doing that. You're trying to separate everybody. God has already included all of humanity at the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:19. I know you probably get tired of hearing me quote this, but it has changed my life. Look it up, 2 Corinthians 5:19. He said that God has reconciled the world. That word world is the same word that's used in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. All of humanity, He's already reconciled to Himself. He now says, this is the message. We are to be now ambassadors of this message, or proclaimers of this message, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God is not mad at you, that God loves you. Here's what He did for you to make you right with Him. Now will you by faith simply believe it? I'm not saying everybody's a Christian. I'm saying everybody's walking in it. I'm just telling you that the work has been done. It doesn't happen the moment we by faith trust Christ as Savior and Lord. He didn't go back to the cross and bury us and die for our sins then. No, He's already done it. Now we just want to proclaim that message, you see, and that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. Now look at verse 6. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and the fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. You see the unity here? You see, it's through Jesus, the gospel. Who is the gospel? He said, it's Jesus. The good news is that Christ came, that Christ died, that Christ rose again, and the good news, the greater news is, He not only did this, He took us with Him. He buried us with Christ. He raised us a new creation, you see. That's the good news. That's the gospel message right there. Now, in verse 7, He gives us a component of stewardship. In other words, if I were to ask you, if you are a good steward of God's grace, and by the way, in your menu outline there, if you think of some things that will be happening if you're a good steward of God's grace, and you, the Holy Spirit teaches you that through me or through Him directly, okay? He can speak to you without me up here. Y'all know that, right? Okay, I'll see y'all later. Y'all just listen to Him. Okay. I'm having too much fun to do that, so I'm going to stay. All right? Jot down, if you think of something, if you're a good steward of God's grace, what are you going to do with it? Jot it down, okay? I might ask you to share a few of those at the end if y'all will remind me. Okay, here's one. If you don't get anything else, here we go. Look at it. Of which I was made a minister. So if I'm a good steward of God's grace, I'm going to minister it. What does minister mean? That means to don't keep it to yourself. I could have just chose to sit there and soak up this new, it ain't new revelation. It's a new revelation for me, but it's been there the whole time. I just was clouded by church world of trying to balance law and grace in the church. And Romans 6:14 says we're not under law, we're under grace. And I didn't understand that. But I could have taken this knowledge that God has given me, and I could have just quit preaching. I could have just said, wow, this is awesome. I'm just going to sit still and be quiet about it. I'm not going to tell anybody. That's not being a good steward of God's grace. I need to minister it to somebody. According to the gift of God's grace, and I love this, the only part we play in the grace of God is to be an ambassador for it. That, by the way, in Ephesians 6:20, Paul says in the later part of this book, he says, of which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to. Part of our praying should be that I want to speak boldly. I want to not be ashamed. I want to proclaim this good news regardless of who's going to like it or not like it. It takes boldness to do that. But anyway, if you'll notice in this verse, there's nothing we did to earn God's grace. It says it's a gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. What did you do to get God's grace and to earn it? Nothing. You were told about it, either the Holy Spirit or some preacher through the Holy Spirit, through a preacher, through a friend, through whomever, begin to share with you this good news of Jesus Christ, and you had a choice whether to believe it or not believe it, and to walk in it, right? So our part is simply to, now He said, if you believe it and receive it, now just minister it.
I want you to notice in the next verse, in verse number 8, how Paul really was humbled by grace. And I found that to be true in my own life. Notice what he said. He said, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things. As I stated, I guess 10 years ago now, as I've been studying the grace message and really growing deeper in what it means to be identified with grace, to understand that grace is not just a topic to be studied, that grace is talking about Jesus. So when we grow deeper in the understanding of what God has already done, it just humbles me. In verse number 8, Paul said, he said, I get the opportunity to preach the unfathomable riches of Christ. I love that. To bring to light to the world that is full of legalism, he said. Paul said to bring light that has been hidden in God. I asked my wife some years ago, I said, why would God choose me to be kind of an ambassador for grace in this grace community, or in this community, maybe a little bit ahead of some other people, because I've been persecuted for it. I've been talked about in sermons and so forth, and I was chosen by God. And can I tell you something? You are chosen by God's grace. You are chosen to proclaim this message to people that are hurting, to people that think that they're all alone out there. They need to understand that God is not an angry God that's out to get them. He wants them to know what He's already done for them and how He sees them. Now, I want you to notice the main reason we are to be sharing this good news of Jesus Christ is found in verse number 10. He said, "So that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places." Now, notice that. We're going to come back to that. Rulers and authorities, some versions say principalities and powers. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This phrase, rulers and authorities or principalities and powers, in my opinion, is clearly talking about the heavenly realm, and we're talking about angels. Paul used the same phrase later on in this book, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. He used this same phrase in reference to rebellious angels who work against God's plan. And of course, we know they are known as demons. Now, I want you to listen to this statement. Whether good or evil, angels are not all-knowing, and God has chosen to reveal His plan to them through us. Did you get that? What an awesome thought that is. Notice Paul didn't say it's the church's job to teach them, but that they learn through us. You see, and as Christ and the Holy Spirit works through us, then the angels are probably observing and they're being taught. They're learning what it means to be, they're learning what this grace is all about. And I want to share a story with you. You remember Ricky Lawson, who used to come to our church, and he said that God had given him a vision where he could literally see. I don't guess it was a vision, it was just his eyes being opened. And he said that he could see angels sitting around the top part of our small sanctuary here. He said it would be as if the angels were just sitting there kind of observing and soaking in what God was up to as we were growing and learning about God's grace. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but that's some heavy stuff. But I have no reason to doubt what he said. Now, I've asked God to show me these angels, but I haven't seen them. But folks, just because I haven't seen them doesn't mean it's not true and it's not there. You see, that's what you call walking by faith and not by sight. Now, I want you to notice how Paul ends this section of Scripture as we look at verses 12 and 13. In whom we have boldness. Now, catch that. We've been talking a lot about quit praying for things that we already have. Let's pray for an awakening to the things that we already have. And here we go. In Him, whom we have boldness. Not we're striving for it, not that we're pleading and begging God for it. No, it says we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. I have found in my own life that grace gives a quiet, confident boldness in my life. Did you see it? It says, not our boldness, not our confidence, but it's through faith in Him. So you see, our confidence is Christ's confidence. Our boldness is Christ's boldness. You see, grace, as I've said before, is Jesus. Jesus gives us boldness, confidence to walk with our heads held high. And it's not a prideful thing of like, hey, look at me, I'm so much better a Christian, and I'm more stable than you are, and I'm more steadfast than you are, and the trials of this life just doesn't shake me like it does a lot of people. No, that's a wrongful kind of pride. But a pride that says, hey, look at Jesus, look at my boldness that's coming through Jesus Christ. And you can't orchestrate this. You can't get up one morning and say, oh, I'm just going to be bold. No, you just keep focusing on the person of Jesus Christ. You keep growing in grace. You keep digging deeper in this mystery that we've been talking about, and you keep understanding what God has already done in your life. My friends, that boldness and that confidence will begin to show up in your life. But God, Paul was saying, he said, hey guys, he said, I know you're concerned and you're worried at my tribulation. You're worried about me being in prison. But he said, you don't need to worry. He said, God's grace is sustaining me even when I'm in prison. He's saying God's grace will sustain you even if we're being talked about and persecuted by other preachers, by other believers. If we're thrown into prison, it doesn't matter. God's grace is sufficient. You see, grace teaches you who you really are. You see, that's Christ's esteem built up in you. And folks, it's more than just self-esteem. I like to call it, it's Christ's esteem. When I know, first of all, who I am, I'm secure in who I am. I'm a child of the King. I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ. My identity doesn't come from what other people say about me. My identity comes from what God has said about me. And when you begin to embrace what God says about you, you begin to embrace that you're righteous, that you're holy, because Christ has already died for you, that he's already buried for you, was buried for you, and he took us with him. He buried our old self, and he raised us a new creation in Christ. My friends, it doesn't quite matter what others say about you when you have that kind of stability, that kind of foundation in your life. You see, you begin to realize that your confidence is not in even your behavior. It's not in how good you are. It's not in how many sins you abstain from doing. It's in how great our God is. So let me encourage you this week. My friends, if something hits you, something attacks you, the bottom is dropped out in your life, my friends, you hold on to the fact that God has not forgotten you. God has not left you. God has got your back. He is your sustainer. And you need to claim that. You need to, when you begin to worry, you need to say, you know what? That's not who I am. I am confident. I am bold because my God is right here with me, and my God has this thing in check. And I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to walk with him one day at a time, and I know that he's going to take care of me. You see, that's being a good steward of God's grace, even as you partake of it of yourself, or as you walk in it yourself. And then, my friends, you'll begin to proclaim it to other people. Paul said, I'm a steward of God's grace, but when I'm a good steward of God's grace, I'm going to be showing it. And you know what? When you're handling that difficult time that comes your way and you're not whining and moaning and groaning and complaining and plastering on Facebook about how bad people are treating you and how bad you've got it, and you begin to proclaim the grace of God in the midst of your situation, people will notice. People will take note and say, wow, what is different about them? I want to be a good steward of God's grace. How about you? Well, let's go out this week and just let the Holy Spirit just take us and use us, and have your ear to him, to the Holy Spirit, saying, Lord, you use me this week. May somebody see your grace, your goodness, your love in my life.